Hello, and welcome to Fathoming Water. I'm your host, Melissa Mosey. Thanks so much to Kip Volpe for last week's episode. We got great insight into the business perspective surrounding water issues and learned how water wheeling works. One of Kip's points in the previous episode was that when it comes to water, we all want the same thing. Our guest today is Carolyn Roach of the Community Water Forum, and Kip and her both agree that in fact we do want the same thing, a vibrant economy, beautiful spaces to live, and an eye toward the future of our community. Both Kip and Carolyn were at the Sustainable Water for Southern Arizona Community Forum, and this is the fourth follow-up interview to that forum. As coordinator for the Community Water Coalition, Carolyn Roach brings a passion for promoting sustainability and community building in a way that has direct impacts for human communities and the natural environment. The coalition works to provide leadership and guidance towards water policy that sustains healthy ecosystems and quality of life and respects our diverse community values. Carolyn holds a Master's of Science in Urban Planning from the University of Arizona and a Bachelor's of Arts in English Literature from San Francisco State University. In this episode, we discuss how the Community Water Coalition works by bringing together a diverse group of members. The coalition was formed in 2011, and Watershed Management Group, who is one of the original members, houses the offices of the coalition. We discuss the impacts the organization has had, as well as current projects. All the projects, whether they be firming up municipal water service areas to environmental restoration, are decided on by this diverse group, which means that each project has impacts for quality of life in the community, benefits for the environment, and benefits to the economy. We discuss what community means and where boundaries are drawn, as well as why it is important to know more about water use in your community. Carolyn has lots of suggestions for how you as an individual can do your part, whether through water conservation at home, volunteering for projects, or by donating. We discuss the failure of the recent bond package and how that impacts our water resources, living spaces, and the Tucson economy as well. It gives us pause because the outcomes that would have resulted from the bonds being passed could have had benefits including additional mesquite bosque restoration along our valuable riparian areas, bringing additional natural flood control, more wildlife habitat, and recreational spaces for humans, which means more dollars from ecotourism. When we discuss why it is important for the general public to know more about water, the bonds are a perfect example of how not knowing about linkages between water and political economy can have on-the-ground consequences. Having a strong community water coalition helps educate and bring together diverse groups that can have meaningful political, economic, and environmental impacts. And now, Carolyn Roach. I'm sitting here today with Carolyn Roach of the Community Water Coalition. Carolyn was part of the Sustainable Water for Southern Arizona Community Forum and represented the Community Water Coalition at that forum. So I want to ask you first, why is it important for the public to know more about water?
Well, I think that water is really fundamental to why we're here in Tucson as a society and how we're able to sustain ourselves here as a society. So the more we know, the better we can better use our water resources.
What was your reasoning for participating in the Community Water Forum?
When we were asked to participate, it was nice to know that there was going to be a farmer represented on the panel. But it was really great to be able to have our community perspective because the majority of the panelists were with water utilities or, you know, municipal governments. And so it was good to have that balance. And I think that I've heard since the forum that it was nice to have that perspective.
So you truly represent the Community Water Coalition. Who do they represent?
So we represent a pretty broad spectrum of environmental organizations and community groups, as well as some businesses. Our members include the Coalition for Sonoran Desert Protection, Watershed Management Group, Tucson Mountains Association, Center for Biological Diversity, Primavera Foundation, Tucson Audubon Society, ACE Charter High School, Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, Sky Island Alliance, Cienega Watershed Partnership, Native Seed Search, Physicians for Social Responsibility Arizona Chapter, Save the Scenic Santa Ritas, Sierra Club Rincon Group, and then the businesses include Technicians for Sustainability, Wells Fargo Advisors, Crow Consulting Group, Borderlands Brewery, La Cocina, and Concrete Done with Love. And so in addition to that really diverse membership, We also have some really passionate individuals who participate on our advisory committee and in other ways with our coalition.
That is an incredible lineup. I did not expect to hear charter schools, La Cocina, Borderlands Brewing. Why would a charter school be interested in being on the Water Coalition?
Well, ACE Charter School is part of the Tucson Youth Development, and they're focused on preparing youth for futures. Our society is going to be really focused around water and green jobs and all kinds of things that the Community Water Coalition can help them have a voice on. And I really love having them. They just came on in this last year, and they're such a great addition. And Tim Kennedy, who's their representative, just brings a whole different perspective to thinking about the future of water.
From the perspective of youth. Oh, that's
exactly.
Fascinating. So how did this start? How did the Community Water Coalition start?
Well, it was kind of a slow birth. There were meetings organized by Tucson Audubon Society called Tea Break, and they were kind of an informal breakfast meeting where organizations and municipal representatives, some of the Tucson wards, city council staff would come to the meetings, and everyone realized that they were talking about water. All the issues that they were talking about, everything they were working on, kind of came down to this core of water. A few of the people that were participating in those meetings got together and said, we need to do something a little more formal, and let's use kind of the Coalition for Sonoran Desert Protection as a model and build a broad coalition that can focus on sustainable water policy. So our official founding was actually in 2011. But there was, like I said, a long process that led to that.
The group has grown and grown over those past 4 years.
Yep.
So what type of activities do you do on behalf of your organizations that you represent?
Well, as part of the Community Water Coalition, we participate in a lot of local policy conversations, you know, like the Water Forum, but also on a more formal level. One of the first major actions that we took when I came on as coordinator in 2011 was to work on some changes that were being proposed to the service area policy. Our water service area is the boundary within which we'll serve water. And why that's important is because we can't just give water away to everyone willy-nilly and let development explode too much to the point that we can't support our development. And so there were some changes proposed that would have kind of diluted that boundary and made the policy less effective. And so one of the major things we did was have a lot of meetings with city council and make a lot of public comments and send letters on behalf of all of our members who support a sustainable society. And we all come to it from different perspectives. The Community Food Bank comes to it from a food security perspective. Primavera Foundation comes to it from supporting low-income environments and also improving environments across the spectrum. And so knowing that we have a reliable water supply helps with all of those things.
And this was the service area for Tucson Water?
Exactly. The Tucson Water service area, I can't remember what year it was set, but that was also a very long process in setting that boundary that some of our members early on were involved in. Tucson Water has obligated service in areas, you know, where they've promised service in the past. And then they set a boundary outside which they won't serve water. So we do work with other water providers in Tucson to make sure that people can get water service, but it isn't our obligation to serve water to everyone.
So that was one of your major activities, was addressing the service boundary area, which does make sense when you put it in the perspective of Primavera and the food bank and others. Knowing that water is going to come to you, very important. What are some current projects you're working on right now?
Well, right now, in the last year, we've established a restoration subcommittee. So a few of our members work on projects to restore natural environments, but Community Water Coalition comes to it from a perspective that by restoring our natural environments, we're supporting healthy communities for people. Watershed Management Group has a program where they're working to restore Sabino Creek, and Sky Island Alliance supports that work from restoring native plant communities upstream. And then Tucson Audubon Society also gets involved in restoration work to support bird habitat and healthy watersheds. Our restoration subcommittee is working on prioritizing projects that can qualify for different kinds of funding or different water sources to help with that restoration.
And are you also involved in planning so that people aren't overlapping their activities?
Yeah, so that's definitely one thing the coalition does, is we like to share the work that we're doing and find ways that we can coordinate and not work at cross purposes and make sure that we speak with one voice when we're promoting these things with the city and the county.
And just for our listeners who aren't familiar with Tucson or the Sabino Creek, it is a wonderful habitat that drains the Mount Lemmon, Catalina area and provides habitat to mountain lions, among various invertebrates and bird life. And
yeah, so Sabino Creek is just one of the many watersheds that used to flow at least almost year-round in Tucson. And we used to have perennial rivers here. That's why Tucson was settled. And so by restoring these upland creeks, we can support more sustained flow so that there isn't just flow during large flood events, during monsoon season and during the winter rainy season, but that we can help restore the shallow aquifer that supports these creeks. That helps bring back habitat for animals and plants, but also it helps improve the environment for all the amenities that we love. The project specifically focuses on the area outside of the national recreation area for Sabino Creek, but it helps support rich vegetation that helps support our urban forest and our bird populations, as well as the big sexy mammals like mountain lions and bobcats.
Or the sexy invertebrates. So this is fascinating because you are involved not only in policy regarding supply and demand for municipal water supplies, but you're also representing the environmental aspects and coordinating environmental aspects. Do you see these areas conflicting? Do you see them coming together to collaborate more in the future? Do you see crisis? What is your take on how environmental needs and municipal needs interact?
Well, I think that that's one of the main focuses of the Community Water Coalition, is seeing that interaction and knowing the importance of environmental health as well as community health and seeing how they impact each other. I don't think that it's this dichotomy of population versus environment. I think that it's a situation where if we use our water resources wisely and promote the use of all of our renewable water resources, we can support both a healthy environment and a healthy community, which depend on each other.
Very good. So this is a organization that allows for that conversation to happen.
Exactly. And because of our diverse membership and we have these various perspectives, we can see those interactions maybe more effectively than somebody coming to it from an isolated perspective.
Why would a small business in Tucson be concerned about water?
The obvious connection for somebody like Borderlands Brewery and La Cocina comes again down to food and water security, beers made with water. I think mostly those small businesses participate with us because they see our importance in sustaining a healthy community. So again, just it keeps coming back to the fact that if we don't use our water resources wisely, we don't have a healthy community. And a healthy community means also a healthy economy. Technicians for Sustainability seems like an obvious member. You know, they care about the environment. They are a B Corp and they support other environmental initiatives in town. And then some of the other businesses come to us because they just see our voice as important in the conversation.
Where are you located? Where is your home base?
My office is housed at Watershed Management Group. Watershed Management Group, as a founding member of the Community Water Coalition, proposed the idea that we combine a position for the Community Water Coalition coordinator along with a position that they were hiring for so that I could have a full-time job.
And how many staff members do you have working for the Community Coalition, or is it just you?
I am the only paid staff member. Our advisory committee consists of representatives from, I think, 8 of our members currently. And so those are people who either get paid through their job to participate on the advisory committee or volunteer their time. And on the advisory committee, we have representatives from our organizations, as well as a business representative and Madeline Kaiser, who is just a really passionate individual who many in the water community know has been involved for a long, long time.
So it's a great volunteer effort.
It is a real grassroots effort. It definitely, you know, it comes from a broad spectrum of our society. And we love to promote that ground up effort.
Where do you see the Community Water Coalition going in the future?
Water is such a big, big issue. And there are a million different avenues that we could take. And we're always wishing that we had the ability to participate more in the statewide water conversation, which is what was great about that water forum, because that was one opportunity. But there's limitations on what we can accomplish. And so right now we're very focused on local water issues. And we also try to stay informed about how those state water issues impact our local water picture. But it's really difficult without more staff and more ability to be involved in those statewide issues.
It brings up the question of what is community? Where are community lines? The new plan that Tom Bruchatsky laid out divided the state into 22 different regions that face either similar challenges or have similar solutions. So where do you draw the line around community? What does that mean for the Community Water Coalition?
Well, our mission says that we, or maybe it's our vision statement, says that we focus on the lower Santa Cruz River watershed. So basically just the Tucson region. But like I said, all those state issues also impact our local water picture. The more we can get involved deeply at the local level, hopefully we can mitigate some of those impacts and help forestall some of the more terrible things that are happening on a broader scale across the West here in Tucson. But our focus for now is just on that lower Santa Cruz River watershed and the Tucson region.
Tucson does seem to be very progressive in thinking about water, approaching water. Have you seen that from where you're sitting, from your position?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Tucson is doing a lot of really great things, but I also see that Tucson as a community has a long way to go. So it's great to applaud our successes and use the good examples, like our Green Streets policy that harvests stormwater from the streets on all new road projects, and the green infrastructure that goes in on a spot-by-spot basis around the city. And our city council is also very progressive and supports a lot of the initiatives that we support. But all of these small efforts can be scaled up to accomplish much bigger goals. Also, not just Tucson Water, but a lot of the water utilities in our region are focused on the big projects that can solve our problems. The desalination plants, the huge recharge projects that they want to construct to recharge our groundwater. And all of those things are important, as well as recycled water. And that's reclaimed water that becomes potable. So all of those things are important for long-term planning and to look at. But I think that by doing all of these smaller community-based actions and scaling them up to municipal scale, we can forestall those big projects and also help our community understand that when those big projects do need to come online, that we've done everything we can do up to that point. And so it makes those big projects more palatable.
When you have conserved as much water as you possibly can, then it's time.
Not just conserved, but also really utilize all of our renewable resources. So the much cited statistic is that enough rain falls on the city of Tucson to support all of our municipal water use. So why aren't we capturing more of that? And not just in large rain tanks that are expensive, those are important too, but you can also capture water in as it falls on the ground in basic rain gardens that help infiltrate that water into the soil, that help grow in urban forests, that helps mitigate things like urban heat island effect and creates more walkable cities, therefore improving our air and our health. So there are a lot of things that can happen on a much broader scale that can make the community better at the same time as conserving our water resources.
So the ethic behind it really seems to be about a quality of life for everyone in the community.
Like I said, a quality environment and a quality of life for our human populations.
So do you write grants for increasing education, increasing these smaller projects, or expanding smaller projects?
Yeah, so the Community Water Coalition has gone after a few grants and actually received one to work with youth on helping them understand our shallow groundwater resources and how we can restore our rivers. But primarily, we are dues-based, and so our member dues help support the work that we do. And then our member organizations take on a lot of the work, and Community Water Coalition acts as a partner to help promote the work that they're already doing.
Do you see your membership growing?
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely had some new members come on in the last year, and I think that as our profile rises and more people realize that the work that we're doing is really integrated with the work that they're doing, I think that our membership will grow.
Tucson Water and Pima County are not part of the Community Water Coalition.
No, but we try to work closely both with the city and the county. For example, one other big section of the work that we do is around the conservation effluent pool. Now, this is 10,000 gallons of reclaimed water that was set aside by an intergovernmental agreement between Pima County and the city of Tucson to support riparian restoration projects. That happened in 2000, and nobody has ever applied to use that water.
Oh!
Partly because there hasn't, up until now, been a real process for how to do that. And there hasn't been a real agreement on what kind of projects should be supported with that water. And so the Community Water Coalition led this broad effort that brought together city representatives, county representatives, Tucson Water, environmental groups, community representatives to kind of go through a prioritization of identifying projects and then ranking projects based on a number of criteria that can utilize that effluent to restore our riparian habitats. It's looking like one of the first projects that is going to happen is a mesquite bosque restoration adjacent to the Mission Gardens. So this will be a city project that is actually being promoted by the Office of Historic Preservation, but that the Community Water Coalition can help support and bring our voice to the importance of that project.
That's interesting to have that historic preservation group part of that. I think
it's actually the city historic preservation officer who's proposing the project.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's coming from a city office, which makes it really compelling.
One of the things that I think that water has an incredible power is that when you start working on water, you have to collaborate. We talk about water wars or water crisis, but do you see more of a possibility of water collaboration and water creating solutions to other problems in the future?
I think that if all I saw was crisis, I wouldn't get up and go to work in the morning. So, yeah, I think that collaboration is the hope, because if you're taking your straw out, there's somebody else putting a straw in 5 miles away from you, it still impacts our groundwater supplies. And that kind of metaphor kind of expands across the whole water spectrum. And so, yeah, the collaboration is vital and important. And I see doors opening and conversations happening that didn't happen, 5 years ago.
Such as?
After the whole service area policy discussion that happened, Tucson Water Regional Coalition, which represents the business interests in our region, was kind of on the opposite side of that debate from the Community Water Coalition. They wanted to loosen the requirements for who can get water and where and when. But then after this water forum, Kit Volpe from that group invited me to come give a presentation to his group. And I'd love to have him come back and present to our group, because I don't think that we're completely opposed. I think that we do have a lot of common ground. And I think that we come from different perspectives, but it's important to hear all of those perspectives.
That was one of the great things about the forum. You were sitting right next to Kit Volpe.
Yep.
What was your greatest takeaway from that forum?
It's encouraging to see awareness growing, across the political spectrum, and the community perspective being taken into account was important. And I think that just knowing where we stand and knowing what's working can help us move forward to a better water future.
Is there anything that the average person can do to help if they wanted to volunteer or participate in any events?
Right. So the Community Water Coalition doesn't necessarily host a lot of events, but a lot of our members do. I mean, the Community Food Bank has a farm at Las Milpitas. It's in coordination with Pima County at their Paseo de las Iglesias restoration project that they just did along the southern Santa Cruz. So there are community garden plots available, and I know that they host work days. Sky Island Alliance hosts restoration workshops where they go up into the Catalinas and they help remove invasive species. Watershed Management Group has a co-op and other community demonstration projects where volunteers come out and help install rainwater harvesting. Tucson Audubon does a lot of events where, even if it's just going out into these environments and birdwatching and getting to know them and care about them, that's really important. But I think supporting any of those groups and offering financial contributions to the Community Water Coalition, anyone can donate to help support the work that we do. So there's always that way to support our work.
Are you a 501c3?
We have nonprofit status with Watershed Management Group as our fiscal agent. So we're under their umbrella of their 501c3. So donations to the Community Water Coalition are tax deductible.
And people who want to volunteer for one of these organizations, it's best to contact them directly.
Yeah, and so on the Community Water Coalition website, we have a list of our members, and that whole list links to all of their websites. So that's the best way to get directly involved. But there are all kinds of things you can do at home on your own, too. Harvest rainwater, conserve water, you know, the simple things like shorter showers and turning the water off when you're brushing your teeth. But also, one of the things that I did recently, my stepson, he's 10, and they did a project on tracking water use at home. I feel like I'm pretty aware of how I use my water at home, but I was a little more aware that week when he was taking tallies of how many times we brush our teeth and flush the toilet. And one of the things that I did was I put a bowl in the sink when I was preparing dinner, and just the amount of water I use rinsing veggies and washing my hands, and I was pretty shocked, you know? And so I think even just those little exercises where you become aware of where your water goes can help.
It's absolutely stunning how little we realize how much water we use because of the magic of the tap.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I turn on the tap, I'm just like, this is the most magical thing.
The water just comes out.
It just comes out. But it does create a blindness because you're not carrying that water. You don't understand the literal weight of that water when you turn on that tap. And so educational projects, of course, those are extremely helpful. I can see why you would partner with schools as well or have them part of the coalition. Where do you see the greatest strengths of having a coalition that's focused on a particular community?
One major strength of our coalition is that the people that are involved have been working on these issues in Tucson for decades sometimes, you know, and so they bring this depth of knowledge and breadth of experience to our coalition that gives us really deep knowledge of where we've been. And also, a lot of members who bring a really innovative approach to where we can go. And so I think that by focusing on a small geographic area like the Tucson Basin, it allows us to really intimately understand the issues.
And do you see this as a concept that can be used in other communities as well?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I mean, I think that there's just as much potential for a coalition of this sort to work in the Phoenix Valley. Yeah, it's a lot more complicated and a lot bigger. There are a lot more people and a lot more municipalities. But I think that's particularly why the coalition model works. Because if you just bring one perspective to the table and you constantly hammer at the same issue from the same angle, it doesn't always get your point across.
So this allows for a way to set up different conversations that get at the same goals.
Exactly.
Was the coalition modeled after any other coalitions previously?
Well, yeah. So the Coalition for Sonoran Desert Protection is a member, and they were a founding member. And having that coalition being so successful in protecting open space was definitely an inspiration. So that's a good regional model that we've used.
So you have coalitions working within coalitions.
Exactly.
And then you have coalitions partnering and working with outside coalitions. Do you see one day a conference of all these different water coalitions coming together and having a broader statewide or national conversation?
Oh, well, I mean, that would be fantastic. I mean, there's some really amazing organizations that work on that scale. And it's inspiring to know that that conversation is happening and that we are kind of modeling that on a more local level.
That's fantastic. So do you guys meet regularly?
Yeah, our advisory committee meets every month and our full membership meets quarterly, except for summer. So 3 quarterly meetings a year. But our advisory committee does the bulk of the decision making and the work. And then our members offer input on a quarterly basis. And they also stay informed through a bulletin that I send out to them each month.
Okay. So there is a dissemination of information component to your mm-hmm. job. And then grant writing as well as part of it, or?
Yeah, I do some grant writing, but again, a lot of our member organizations will write the Community Water Coalition into grants that they work on, you know, so they can say this element of the project can be satisfied by the Community Water Coalition. How about we put a little funding toward that group?
Okay. So you're spending your time doing outreach, you're spending your time doing grants, you're spending your time doing...
meeting with mayor and council, calling the county administrators. Yeah, it's a lot of direct outreach to our leaders, as well as outreach to our member organizations so that they know what we're working on, and then they can come in and offer their support when there are compatible initiatives.
Sounds like a really great group.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that it started. And yeah, sometimes some of the best stuff takes a long time to kind of grow and develop. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring to the conversation?
I think that what I would like for people to understand is that, like I said about if it was just a crisis, I couldn't get up and come to work every day. I think what I want people to understand is that talking about water can be hopeful, and that there are a lot of things that we can do, not just to survive here in Tucson, but to really thrive. And those are the kinds of things that when I can have those conversations with local leaders and other organizations and people in the community that really give me hope for the future for our water. And not just our water future, but our future here in Tucson for a vibrant lifestyle.
Well, and that's one of the things that made me start this. There's a lot of positivity that can happen with water, because when it comes down to the fundamentals of food and water, that's really what drives new innovative ideas, being on the forefront of creating coalitions or new technologies. Is the coalition more focused on policy, on conservation, or on all of the tools, using all of the tools together?
I think that what we focus on most is policy, but it's how those policies impact all those other things that you mentioned. Knowing that if we can have a strong water service area boundary, that helps promote more sustainable growth in our community. And knowing that if we can help develop a process for utilizing the conservation effluent pool, that helps promote those projects that will restore our riparian habitats. And working closely on policies with the city and the county that help promote stormwater harvesting on our streets, supports a more vibrant community for walkability and bikeability and less urban heat island effect, and also helps promote green jobs, which have impacts on the economy, in addition to all the tourism that is driven by, you know, a nicer, beautified city and our vibrant riparian areas. Our ecotourism kind of cachet grows when these policies are really put into place and really implemented well.
So if you're working on policy, we recently just had a bond package that was just completely shut down. And one of them was for watershed restoration and other issues. Was the coalition a part of promoting that bond package?
Yeah, so the coalition did come out in support of the bond package. And it wasn't even just the watershed and restoration aspects, but, you know, the open space purchasing, as well as some stormwater infrastructure projects that would have been really important for our economy, I think, as well as our environment. So, yeah, it was disappointing to see that bond package not pass. Maybe one thing that could have done better would have been to highlight the benefits of the previous bond, the open space that was purchased with the previous bond funds, and all of the other benefits. And I think that what everyone, when they're doing outreach, needs to do is make it personal and show people what they're going to get for their dollars. And there really were projects all over the city that would have been supported by this bond package that would have improved parks and community facilities and streets and all kinds of things that would have impacted the entire community of Tucson. And those were all turned down. And so if you don't exactly know what you're getting for your dollars, it's hard to say, yeah, raise my taxes. If you can really see what you're going to get for it, then I think that people can support it more.
What were some of the benefits of the previous bond package?
I know specifically about the open space bonds. So the money was used to help purchase a lot of open space around Tucson that helps support healthy environments and wildlife habitats, as well as recreation areas that are now available for our community to use.
Have you seen the interest in water and the projects surrounding water becoming more frequent, accelerating in growth, becoming larger in the past few years?
Yeah, well, one big water-related project that happened in Tucson was that the city approved the Green Streets policy that I mentioned before, where all major road construction projects and reconstruction projects will now incorporate stormwater harvesting. And that means we can grow more shade trees and native vegetation that supports pollinators, produces shadier sidewalks and nicer bike lanes, all without using potable water to irrigate.
So there you're starting to take a small project and bring it up to that larger municipal level.
So when it can be implemented on a citywide scale, and you can start to see it on the Grant Road reconstruction project, where they're putting in huge stormwater harvesting basins along the edge of the street. and planting native trees and supporting the vegetation without using our potable water sources.
So if you could say anything to encourage more businesses and more organizations and nonprofits to join the Community Water Coalition, what would your fast pitch, as they say, what would your pitch be to these organizations?
I think my pitch would be that we really offer a coordinated voice that helps kind of increase the impact of water-related work that organizations or businesses might be doing or might be interested in. And by bringing kind of a coordinated voice, we can really start to shift the conversation. Businesses or organizations that really care about water or realize that their work is coming down to water reliability can get involved with the coalition, and we can help spread that message and also help incorporate more perspectives into what we're doing, because I think that that's what has been really good to see our coalition broaden. Just from a selfish perspective, I like to hear why it matters to everyone else. And the more I can hear those reasons, the more I can put my passion toward expressing that importance to our leaders.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I'd like to thank KXEI for doing this series. I think this is one really important way to get the community conversation going about water. And, you know, KXEI has just been such a great community partner to many of our member organizations. So we appreciate that. And I really appreciate the opportunity to come talk with you today.
Thank you so much to Carolyn Roach for participating on Fathoming Water. The Community Water Coalition is certainly a hub for compromise, innovation, and aids in solving problems by bringing together diverse viewpoints. We are lucky here in Tucson to have such a coalition. Carolyn is just one of the dedicated people who are making meaningful change around water issues in our community, but we will talk to many more as the series continues. Fathoming Water is taking a break for the holiday season and will return with new episodes on January 14, 2016. Our first episode back features Marie Perthrie and is the fifth follow-up to the Sustainable Water for Southern Arizona Community Forum. Marie is the Deputy General Manager for Strategic Initiatives and Public Policy at the Central Arizona Project. She oversees CAP's strategic development, stakeholder relations, legislative affairs, and programs related to the Colorado River. She also oversees the Central Arizona Groundwater District, which is a division of the CAP. Marie is a professional engineer with 30 years of experience in the water industry. Prior to joining CAP in 2009, she spent 10 years as the Deputy Director of the City of Tucson Water Department. She holds a Master's of Science degree from the University of Arizona in Geosciences and a Bachelor of Arts degree from Oberlin College in Geology. Fathoming Water is produced in Tucson, Arizona at KXEI Community Radio and engineered at Baby Gas Mask Records. Thank you to the University of Arizona Water Resources Research Center for support of Fathoming Water. Thank you to Chris Levesque for our theme music, A Walk in the Wasteland, and thank you for listening. Make sure to check out new episodes when we return in 2016. I'm your host, Melissa Mosey.